The U.S. plans on getting tough with China.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good day to you. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner is signaling the Obama administration plans to go toe-to-toe with China over its currency. U.S. businesses say China is keeping its currency too low, giving it an unfair trade advantage. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer is with us live from Washington this morning. Hi, Nancy.
Good morning.
So Geithner is testifying this morning before the Senate Banking Committee. Are we hearing some tough talk?
Well, yes, actually, we are. Geithner said Beijing hasn't let its currency, the yuan, rise enough against the dollar. China's critics say it's devalued its currency by as much as 40%. And that gives Chinese exporters an advantage because their products are cheaper than U.S. goods since the yuan is worth less than the dollar. Now, China promised to loosen the yuan's peg to the dollar, letting it appreciate. But Geithner says that's not happening fast enough.
We are concerned, as are many of China's trading partners, that the pace of appreciation has been too slow and the extent of appreciation too limited.
And Steve Geithner also said China is allowing rampant piracy of U.S. products. He said Beijing has put up trade barriers that keep American companies from operating there.
So then, Nancy, what is the administration going to do about all this?
Well, until now, the White House has preferred quiet diplomacy with China. That's how President Bush and previous presidents dealt with Beijing. But today, Geithner amped up the pressure. He said the administration is committed to using all tools available to ensure American firms and workers can compete fairly with China.
Tools? What's he talking about, tools?
Well, for starters, the administration has filed two new trade cases against China before the World Trade Organization. If the WTO rules in Washington's favor, the U.S. could slap sanctions on Chinese products.
Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer reporting from our Washington studio. Nancy, thanks.
You're welcome.
The number of people who filed last week for first-time unemployment claims fell for the third straight week. That, according to the Labor Department, that says the number dropped slightly by 3,000 to 450,000. Let's do the numbers. Markets are off right now, generally under 0.5%. The Dow now down 0.25%, 22 points at 10,549. European shares ended the day pretty much lower as well, and Asian shares closed mostly lower today in overseas trading. Thousands of people are lining the streets of Edinburgh, Scotland today as Pope Benedict XVI meets Queen Elizabeth. The British government's going to pay for the visit. That has many in Britain upset. The BBC's Rebecca Singer reports.
He's only the second pope to visit the UK in the last 500 years. But even before Benedict XVI touched down at Edinburgh Airport, his visit's been marred by controversy. The cost of this visit, $19 million for the British government, and the Catholic Church will be putting in another $15 million. But there's been a lot of criticism of these costs, at a time when the country is recovering from recession and facing big cuts to public spending. Juliet Wilson is from the Humanist Society of Scotland. She says taxpayers shouldn't have to foot the bill.
The Vatican, with their enormous wealth, should pay for that. Politicians need to understand that the teachings of the Pope are completely against the way that most Scottish people and even most Catholics think and live their lives.
But there have been some concessions. For the first time, people attending a beatification service on Sunday will have to pay $40 for tickets and transport. And the government has defended the cost, saying the Pope has been invited as a head of state. It notes that last year it cost more to host a one-day meeting of G20 finance ministers. In London, I'm the BBC's Rebecca Singer for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the new Rosetta Stone, introducing their latest advancement in language learning, version 4 Totali. Information at rosettastone.com/APM. By Constant Contact Email Marketing, providing small businesses and nonprofits with personal coaches to help them succeed. ConstantContact.com. And by Vanguard, whose mission is to simplify investing and to help people reach their financial goals at vanguard.com/public radio.
According to the National Center for Health Statistics, the 2009 U.S. birth rate was the lowest in a century. Experts say the economy has a lot to do with that. Megan Sweeney is a sociologist at UCLA, and she's here to talk about it. Thanks for being with us.
No problem. Happy to be here.
In what ways does the economy dictate whether people have children?
First of all, I guess I'd back up and say that it's difficult to know exactly what's causing the change in birth rates at any given point in time. If you look historically over a long time period, birth rates tend to dip up or dip down, and it's difficult to know for sure that the economy is causing these changes. That said, there are a lot of reasons to think that they could be contributing factors. Children are expensive to raise. I have one myself. I know that's true. They also require care, and so often you'll have at least one of the parents out of the labor market for a period of time taking care of the child. In periods of economic instability, having two earners in the labor market can be a nice cushion. So that can be one of the reasons that people might choose to delay a birth.
What are some of the hazards of lower birth rates?
Well, I think we care about low birth rates because all else equal, families having fewer children contributes to an aging population and a possible shortage of what demographers consider the all-important trifecta of workers, warriors, and consumers. And there's probably also some sense out there that people should be able to have the number of children that they want to have, particularly if they're willing and able to work to support them.
Have we seen this before, this kind of drop?
Yeah. So actually, if you look historically in the United States, there is a series of drops in the birth rate that coincide with recessionary periods. So the most dramatic one, obviously, is the Great Depression of the 1930s.
Right.
Fertility was low then. And then also we saw it, for example, in the early 1970s.
I can remember 10, 20 years ago, European countries were concerned about birth rates there, trying to get people to have kids again. Is this really a concern for our country?
Yeah, there's actually many European countries, Spain, Italy, France, have been very concerned about their low fertility and have been trying to come up with ways to encourage the members of their population to increase fertility. Of course, across all countries, the size of a population and its rate of growth depends not just on birth rates, but also on factors such as immigration patterns. And that's really important to keep in mind.
Dr. Megan Sweeney, Associate Professor of Sociology at UCLA, thanks for being with us.
Thanks so much.
And finally, a new study says those violent shooting video games like Call of Duty could actually do some good. Researchers at the University of Rochester found that shooter games produced heightened sensitivity and more efficient use of people's senses, not to mention the ability to wage war from the most comfortable seat in the house. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.